326-3386. Oregon Governor Kate Brown's number is 503-378-3111. And Portland Mayor Charlie Hales can be reached at 503-823-4120. You're listening to KBOO Portland, 90.7 FM, K282BH Philomath, 104.3 FM, and K220HR Hood River, 91.9 FM. I'm Alan Montecelio.
And I'm Doug McVeigh. Coming up tomorrow morning on KBOO, at 7, it's Democracy Now! With Amy Goodman and Juan Gonzalez. At 8, on Positively Revolting Talk Radio, hosts Ani and Lynn discuss resistance and letting go with Dr. Guy McPherson, Professor Emeritus of Natural Resources and Evolutionary Biology from University of Arizona, about the likelihood of near-term human extinction due in part to abrupt climate change. At 9, on One Land, Many Voices, we hear a talk by Remy Kanazi, a Palestinian-American performance poet and human rights activist who spoke at Portland State University on divestment on school campuses. At 10, it's Air Cascadia, headlines, interviews, and commentary with Chris Andre. At 10:15, hear Flashpoints, investigative news radio with host Dennis Bernstein. And at 11, Michelle Schroeder Fletcher hosts a panel discussion with presenters from the Mathematics, Education, and Society Conference, a biennial international conference being held this week at Portland State University, exploring social, political, cultural, and ethical dimensions of mathematics education. Thanks, KBOO members, for your generous support for community radio. If you're not a current member, you can become one by going to kboo.fm and clicking on Donate Today.
KBOO News In Depth, where we take a deeper look at the top news stories impacting our community.
A judge in Washington has ruled in favor of a group of children demanding state action on climate change in what supporters say is a landmark ruling. The children in Washington filed their lawsuit with the help of NASA and a group called Our Children's Trust. The group has helped children file lawsuits in all 50 states calling for immediate action on climate change in order to preserve the planet's future for the children. Today's decision marks the first time in the United States that a court has ordered a state to consider the ramifications of climate change when enacting rules on pollution and other regulations. The 8 petitioners in Washington range in age from 9 to 14 years old. They filed their lawsuit last June after the Washington Department of Ecology denied their petition to reduce carbon dioxide emissions in the state. Today, the court ordered the State Department of Ecology to apply the agency's own findings that climate change presents an imminent threat to the residents of Washington and demands immediate action. The agency must report back to the court by July 8th, outlining the steps it will take. A similar lawsuit in Oregon was denied late last year, but the children who filed it have appealed that ruling. KBOO's Robin Ryan spoke today with one of the children's lawyers, Andrea Rogers of the Western Environmental Law Center, for more on the decision.
I'm talking with Andrea Rogers. She is an attorney with the Western Environmental Law Center, and we're going to talk about a case that you're involved in. Your clients are a group of teenagers that took legal action against the Washington State Department of Ecology. What reasons did this collection of petitioners offer to the agency for their request last June, and how did the agency respond?
We filed a petition to the Washington Department of Ecology, who's our natural resource management agency here in Washington, and we were asking the Washington Department of Ecology to promulgate a rule to regulate carbon dioxide emissions based on best available science. We submitted that petition in June 2014, and Ecology denied it a couple of months later, and the youth decided that their decision was wrong, and we ended up taking them to court. From here now, the next 2 weeks are going to be critical. The judge sent back the case back to the Department of Ecology, and they have until July 8th to decide whether or not to pursue rulemaking. And what the judge did is, after Ecology denied our petition for rulemaking, they issued a report, and it was the agency, and it's December of 2014 is when they issued the report. And what the report did, it summarized all the most current science, and it supports many of our legal claims, because it states that it is already occurring, it's going to have devastating impacts in the state of Washington, urgent action is required, and that if we don't take action to address climate change, there will, quote, be intergenerational inequities caused by our lack of action. So we submitted that report in support of our opening brief, because it supported all of our legal claims, and Ecology moved to strike it from the record, even though it was their own report. And the reason they moved to strike it from the record was because they had issued the report after they had made our decision. And the court did not agree that it shouldn't be part of the case because it was so significant and contained such significant scientific findings. The court sent it back to the agency to reconsider their decision in light of that December 2014 report.
Talk about why this particular agency was selected. How would you characterize their scope of authority or charter?
What we're asking the agency to do, it's nothing too groundbreaking. You know, the agency has a significant amount of existing statutory authority to regulate air pollutants under the Clean Air Act, the Washington Clean Air Act. And one of those air pollutants is carbon dioxide. And they admit that they have the authority to regulate it. And so what we're asking is that they, if they grant our petition, they would then need to initiate a rulemaking process to figure out what is the best way to regulate carbon dioxide in this state so that it will we will reduce our emissions based on what's required by best available science. So the costs that the agency would incur, I don't envision that happening in the near term. The second phase of that, of course, would be implementing and enforcing that strategy, and there would certainly be costs associated with that. But that all is considered as part of the rulemaking process. You know, the rulemaking process, public gets to submit comments, industry gets to submit comments, they're weighed, and then Ecology decides what is the best approach to take. Budget is always a concern for Ecology, because here in Washington State, when Ecology does exert their authority to regulate industry, legislature frequently comes back and guts their budget. That's how they respond, and I recognize that. We as a society need to do more to support the agency and to make sure that the legislature provides them the funds that they need to adequately protect the environment. So that battle will be part of it, but that's not going to happen in the near term. That's more in the bigger picture as they start to implement their carbon dioxide reduction strategies. You know, Governor Inslee had an entire carbon package that he wanted the legislature to pass, and that included a cap and trade. And the other option on the table was a carbon tax, and it was killed. He couldn't get it through the legislature. Even in the quote-unquote progressive state of Washington, he could not get that through, and that was largely because of industry not wanting it to happen. So that's why our case is so significant, because our case does not ask for any additional legislative authority. It asks Ecology to implement the authority that they already have. Years ago, the legislature gave them the authority to protect air quality for present and future generations. That's in the Washington Clean Air Act. They were directed to, it's a mandatory duty to enact air emission standards and limitations for air pollutants such as carbon dioxide. None of that authority has been taken away. It's there on the books. It just has never been implemented by this agency. And the youth in this case, that's why they filed their petition. They said, look, the legislature isn't going to do anything to help us on this front. We need the agency, the only agency who's responsible for protecting our natural resources. They need to stand up and exert their authority and protect our rights. It's an amazing organization. It's a very small organization based in Eugene, Oregon, and it's headed by Julia Olson, who's probably one of the most remarkable women I have ever met. And she is working hard with her small team and an army of largely volunteer armies, lawyers, across the country and in foreign nations as well, helping the youth stand up and take action to protect their climate. And it comes in many forms. It comes in petitions for rulemaking, actual lawsuits against sovereign governments. They're working on, they got the first climate ordinance passed before this in the city of Eugene, Oregon. So there's all sorts of stuff, and it's really, what Julia has done for the youth is really remarkable. She has given them the supports and resources that they need to express their voice. Because most oftentimes in climate change cases, judges will say this is a political question, one that the judiciary need not decide. And that's just wrong. There's three branches of government in this country, and the youth can't vote. So their voices are not reflected through the political branch. Now, when the political branch, the legislative branch, refuses to take action in a way that violates these kids' fundamental rights, somebody needs to step in and say that's illegal, and that's what the judiciary is for. And that's why, you know, the focus of our Children's Trust has been bringing these claims to the judiciary so that they can interpret and apply the laws to protect the rights of present and future generations.
You describe the order from the court as a landmark finding. Has it the capacity to have an impact on comparable cases throughout the nation?
I think so, and here's why. The several other climate change cases have been litigated in this country, all the way up to the Supreme Court, and there has been a variety of different legal theories that have been used.
The judge in this case has given the agency until July 8th to reconsider the petition. Are you preparing for any specific set of eventualities?
We certainly are, and our next call to action is we are going to immediately reach out to Governor Inslee and ask that he direct the Department of Ecology to start this rulemaking process immediately. His goal for his administration has been putting the state on the path towards climate stability. And unfortunately, he was not able to get any of his climate measures passed through the legislature this session. And here is an opportunity for the governor. There's a court order directing his agency that he supervises to reconsider this petition for rulemaking, and when they reconsider it, to look at the current and best available science in doing so. So I believe it's imperative that Governor Inslee take that leadership and direct his agency to do the right thing and promulgate a rule that will protect our children and future generations. This is his opportunity. He cannot let it go. This isn't going to happen if we sit around and wait for the legislature to take action. I think it's quite clear that that's not going to happen. But what nobody disputes as well is the science. You know, the ecology's report said urgent action is required. And I think the judge in our case understands that. She recognizes that if we were to continue along ecology's path, we would wait another year, a year and 5 months until after the climate negotiations occur in Paris. And the science is quite clear that we're getting down a path of this may be too late. If we're going to draw down our carbon dioxide emissions, we need to do it now. And here's an opportunity for Governor Inslee, and I hope he doesn't leave this opportunity on the table so that future generations have to suffer for his failure to exert his leadership. He's promised that this is what his issue is. He's promised the citizens of Washington State to that he is going to be a leader on the climate change front. Now is his opportunity. He has to take advantage of it. The youth set this up for him, and the youth have taken the leadership and gone out on a limb and filed the petition in their own name. Now it's up to the governor to get his agency to do the right thing. Governor Inslee presented a reasonable package of measures, including a cap and trade system, and he was not able to get enough legislatures in this state to approve it. So we have a legislature. They speak as one body that doesn't want to take action on climate change. So I don't think it matters that we certainly have some wonderful progressive legislators in the city of Seattle that want to take immediate action for climate change, and we have very conservative members in other parts of the state that don't believe climate change is real, and they think the rapture is coming. That doesn't really matter, and there's people everywhere in between. What matters is they cannot take action on climate change, and somebody needs to do something about it. And the court is going to hold the agency responsible if they don't implement their statutory authority to do something. And the youth will make sure, by bringing this action to the court, that the court does hold them accountable. There has been nuisance lawsuits, public trust lawsuits, and nearly all of those cases have been dismissed on the grounds that the courts don't have the authority to consider this issue, that it is a political question, and that the legislature is the one that has to step in. Our case is really the first one and the only one where we asked the agency to utilize their existing authority to do what's needed to be done to address climate change. And the judge, applying the Administrative Procedure Act, which is a statute that nearly every state has, I'm sure they do have, and thousands of courts have interpreted and applied this statute. So it's not something that's novel and outside the box. And so the judge was able to understand the rules that you play with when you're dealing with the Administrative Procedure Act.
You are listening to KBOO Portland. The time is 6 p.m. Coming up next, Rose City Native Radio.
KBOO is a proud co-sponsor of the Portland Underground grad school series, Portland's Urban Native Americans, What You Need to Know to Be an Ally. Classes will start July 8th and continuing for 4 weeks on Wednesdays at 7 at Southeast Uplift in Portland. Classes will focus on issues such as federal policy toward Native peoples, inequities Portland's Native peoples face, blood quantum, and more. It will also address contemporary ideas of privilege, white fragility, and the complexities of intersectionality. Again, that's Portland's Urban Native.